A new mural set to be unveiled on UW-Stout's Applied Arts Building is the work of students in a new graffiti and street art course. We look at the evolution of graffiti art in schools on The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. What do you think about bringing street art into formal training? Where did you see graffiti that just blew you away? Join in 800-642-1234. Wade Lambertson co-teaches the graffiti and street art course at UW-Stout, owns a vintage sign shop in Menominee. Wade, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Well, thank you, Kate. Thanks for having me on.
Good morning. Cynthia Bland here as well, contemporary and non-Western art historian and department chair of art and art history at UW-Stout. She developed the graffiti course. Cynthia, welcome to you.
Thank you so much for having us on.
Well, Cynthia, let's start with you. Can you, if you will, paint us a visual in our mind's eye of the mural that will be unveiled?
Well, Wade and I started off with this idea of co-teaching a class where we create an original mural on the exterior of the Applied Arts Building. And we wanted it to be highly visible to the public, but also, and this was Wade's idea, we wanted to have on the exterior of the building a reflection of the creative energy and vibrancy of ideas that goes on the inside of the Applied Arts Building. So as you drive down 13th next to the Applied Arts Building, you'll see a colorful mural that's 400 square feet and features many of our programs on the inside of the building, such as industrial design, interior design, and art history, performing arts. So it's a really exciting and vibrant mural that I think will bring a lot of attention to our arts programming at Stout.
Wade, what was it like for you to take on a project like this where you're teaching your, kind of like teaching in your profession what you do on a day-to-day basis?
Well, it's a pretty exciting opportunity, especially since I'm a graduate of UW-Stout back in the 90s. But it's nothing really new to me. This setting is new, being a professor, but I have taught mural painting in the past through Waldog events the last five years.
And Waldogs is this international group of muralists and sign artists, is that right?
Yeah, that's right. Sign artists, illustrators, painters, anybody that's interested from around the world get together once a year in a small town and paint 12 to 20 murals depicting town's history and interesting stories about a town. And it's quite an event. It's like Sturgis for sign painters, I like to call it.
Oh, I love that. I love that analogy. Cynthia, what was the process like to commission the design from your students?
Well, it all began with the chancellor. So I've learned so much about the university through going through the process of trying to get this mural approved on university surfaces. And I went to the chancellor and I asked, what do you think about a mural? And she was absolutely excited about this. And I think that's the reason why I was able to go back and put all of the puzzle pieces together. Because as I'm going through these different committees, facilities management and the campus exterior development committee, I was able to say, the chancellor supports this. And I think that was key. And then the provost actually gave us the idea of using the loading dock. So once I had those two pieces in place, the process was relatively painless. And it's just a really exciting moment here for students to be able to get involved. And so Wade and I are co-teaching a class called Graffiti and Street Art. And Wade can talk about the production of the mural, but I'll just briefly tell you about the art history aspect of the course. So people have been making marks on surfaces since the cave paintings. So we go back 28,000 BCE and we see this impulse to create and to draw and to record the world around us. So we start off looking in the class at the Lascaux caves, and then we move forward in time to Egyptian art and study the graffiti that's on the pyramids of Giza, such as the Drunkards of Menkaure and the Friends of Khufu Gang. Hmm. So graffiti has this really long and rich history. And then we move forward in time to look at the Pompeii wall paintings. And then we look at Michelangelo's Sistine Ceiling. We move forward in time to look at Diego Rivera's impact. So the class, I'm hoping, has this rich contextualization for the students. And then we cover contemporary graffiti artists such as Lady Pink and Swoon, Shepherd Fairey, Banksy, Os Geminos, and the list goes on.
Well, we're just going through warp speed through through graffiti art through time. This is really awesome. Let me reintroduce you as we talk about the new graffiti and street art course at UW Stout with two of the teachers, Cynthia Bland there, who is contemporary and Northwestern art historian, UW Stout Art and Art History Department Chair, and Wade Lambertson, business owner in Menominee, recruited to help with the class, a mural artist. You can join in on murals you've seen, how they make an impact in your community. 800-642-1234. Wade, tell us about the production challenges you encountered on, you know, this nearly 400 square foot wall.
Well, it was a good lesson for the students because it's been full of challenges, really. We're doing the exterior loading dock wall, which is, like Cynthia mentioned, we're doing about a 40-foot chunk. It starts at 8 foot, 8.5 foot tall, and then it gets to about 11 foot tall. So it's at an angle. And plus, we have two trees that we're kind of painting behind that are beautiful now, but they have given us quite some challenges. So we had to use a couple different methods to get the student-designed mural design on the wall. So Cynthia mentioned Michelangelo. We're actually using one of his techniques where we take paper, transfer the design onto the paper, poke holes in the paper, and then transfer that paper to the wall using charcoal. We rub it on the paper and we take the paper off and the design is there. So that was used, that's how Michelangelo used with a seamstress wheel to poke holes in his paper, and then he just used charcoal to transfer his drawing onto the ceiling.
Wow.
Yeah, I know, it's really old technology. We use the electric pounce, which is much faster than a wheel. But I wanted to show the students that they can do this with paper.
And that it's not completely you're not completely reliant then on like Photoshop or Illustrator or some of these graphic design programs.
Right. You can draw it on paper. You can draw directly on the wall. There's a lot of methods. We had it designed in like an Illustrator program just so we can show these methods.
Mm-hmm.
Because you can also project the wall, image onto the wall. So we actually got together one night and we had a digital projector out there and we projected the areas that were not bothered by the trees onto the wall. And then we traced it with a wax pencil to a dark painted background. And then it rained all day the next day, but then the pattern was still there, invisible. And we just got to work the following day. It was like a coloring book at that point. Just
paint by number.
Colors.
Yes. Is that
paint by numbers?
Okay.
Exactly.
We're talking with Wade Lambertson and Cynthia Bland, who are co-teaching this graffiti and street art course at UW Stout. Ceremony to unveil the mural set for tomorrow. Join in on street art in your community. Questions about mural paintings, 800-642-1234. Back in a minute on the Ideas Network. We're talking about the role of street art in art education and a new mural at UW Stout. It is the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. After a year of discussions and planning, the graffiti and street art course was approved, got underway this last month. A nearly 400 square foot mural on UW Stout's Applied Arts Building set to be unveiled. Join in on street art and murals that make a statement in your community. 800-642-1234. UW Stout art professor and course creator Cynthia Bland stays with us, along with sign and mural artist and UW Stout co-teacher Wade Lambertson. They're with us for about 9 more minutes. Let's go to Bree now in Menominee. Bree, hi. You're one of the leaders in the class, I understand.
Hi, yeah, I am.
And what has your experience been like on this project?
It's been really fun. I was already interested in the mural class before my team's design was selected, and now that it was selected, it's been a really cool adventure to see it go up on the wall.
What has been surprising to you that you didn't understand about art in this art form?
I think the scale of it is the most surprising and exciting. Because one of the figures that I drew at probably the size of my hand is now the size of my entire person up on the wall.
Oh, my goodness. Cynthia, you know, what impact does it have on these students to learn these processes?
That's a really great question. The students have been involved in this project since the very beginning. So Wade and I sent out a request for proposals to our entire School of Art and Design student body, because we wanted a student designed mural, because we have such talent in this building and we knew our students could do it, and they really did. And so Wade and I would go into 2 different classrooms where the professors had this as a project. One was Eric Evanson's digital illustration class, and the other was Tim Tozer's painting 2 class. And so Wade and I attended critiques, and then we asked the students to make changes and modifications. And then Wade and I sifted through about 10 of the designs, and we chose the winning design, of which Bree was a part. And then now we have the students that are actually painting the murals, so they're getting dirty, they're getting paint all over themselves, and they're having an incredible time. And I had a student just the other day tell me that she works on the computer, she's a graphic designer because she doesn't want to get dirty, but she had paint all over her face and she said, "I'm having fun." So it's really wonderful for these students to be involved all the way from the design process through to the actual painting of the mural.
I wonder, Bree, what was it like for you to be a part of a team, to work on art as a team, and also to have to accept that feedback and make adjustments along the way?
I definitely appreciated having a team. During the design making phase, they were a great help for coming up with ideas. And just getting work done faster. And I would say the same is true for the mural itself. We're certainly moving very quickly as a class of 17 students.
Well, Bree, thank you so much for calling in. Appreciate it. Let's go to Allie now in Menominee. Allie, hi. What is your perspective?
Hi. I've worked for Wade for like 2.5 years now-ish. And when they were first talking about the class maybe being started, I was like, I have to get in on this. It's been such a joy. I've worked on a couple smaller murals with Wade the last couple summers and everything. It's really, really exciting to do it through the school, though, because there's not really any artwork that's posted besides up in the little cases in the art building. And it's really nice to be a part of something that'll stay at Stout for years and years to come.
That you had a hand in.
Yes, yes.
Wade, what do you make of that? You know, here's your apprentice saying, look, you know, I could be part of something bigger here and do it through UW Stout.
Well, it makes me very proud. I'm really proud of Allie. She's done an amazing job. And like she said, she's helped me paint murals all over the Midwest. Well, in Wisconsin mostly, but that was our goal with this class, is that these students can walk away from this class and know step by step how to paint a mural, and they can do it themselves. I have all the confidence in the world that Allie could design and paint a mural completely on her own with all that she's learned. And these students too, now they have the opportunity. They go back to their hometown and go to their chamber of commerce and say, hey, I have an idea for a mural. Let me show you. And they can make a good living painting murals. And now they have the tools to do that.
Allie, I would imagine, though, that every mural is unique in terms of presenting unique challenges, and that you grow as well in your ability to to address those challenges. What has it been like for you in terms of your growth as an artist?
I definitely would have to agree with what Bree said about the scale of the art piece itself. You know, being an art and design student, you only work so small, you know, with different projects between drawing and painting and all that. Mm-hmm. Then get a canvas, you know, the size of a loading dock wall, you know, that's an insane jump in scale, but it's so rewarding at the same time.
Well, Allie, thank you so much for calling in as we talk about this graffiti and street art course at UW-Stout and their mural that is taking shape on their campus. You can join in with your perspective on murals, 800-642-1234. Cynthia, I want to toss this back to you because you really came up with this course when you were on walks through Glasgow and Edinburgh, Scotland. What did you see on those walks and what inspired you?
Yeah, I was teaching in Scotland in the summer of 2019, and I was leading students all over Edinburgh and Glasgow on street art walking tours. And every time you rounded the corner, there was a great big, huge 30-story building that had the most impressive mural you could imagine. And just seeing that incredible creativity and vibrancy that these murals brought to these cities, I thought we really need to do this in Menominee, and we are underway. We've got quite a few murals that Wade has created. We have a new mural that's going up during the Let's Paint the Town Summer Festival in July. So we're starting to make an impact in our city and bring visual interest to Menominee, hopefully tourism, and then with this mural, attention to our art programs at Stout.
I understand there is this support, as I'm hearing from you, from UW-Stout to do this class again and to really dig more deeply into murals. So what would be your advice to another university or another community that wants to create a public mural? What would your best tips to them be?
I think just knowing that it can be done and that people say yes. I mean, I kept thinking that I was going to hear no and no and we can't and we won't do that, but I just kept hearing yes. So my advice would be just to get started, and you never know what you can do until you start taking those steps.
Hmm. Wade, what is your advice for starting a mural project in a community or at a university?
Well, it's got to be a collaboration. You know, you have to have a good group that's willing to work together as designers and painters. But like Cynthia said, you just start with an idea and a presentation, and it's really catching on, the street art and mural art around the world, and people love art and they respect it. And it draws people in and it brings a community together. I mean, right now I'm working as a professor at the university I went to when I was in my 20s. And now here I'm teaching students what I do. And it's such a wonderful opportunity that the university presented to me. Just a sole proprietor trying to make a living, making signs and murals. And they asked me to be part of this. So it's a real amazing opportunity. So I'm very happy.
Cynthia, how do murals make us think more deeply about social issues, about societal issues of our time?
Yeah, I think artists from all the way back to the beginning of our first art making have allowed us to think very clearly about what is happening in the world around us. So art can be a visual tool, of course, socially and politically and economically, to bring attention to some of the ills that we have in our society. Art can also be a creative expression where it brings people joy. So art can focus on all of these different emotions that we experience in our everyday lives. And I think art enriches our lives. It helps bring visual interest to our cities. And I think that without art, I think we would really be in a sad situation. So I think that art is absolutely important for us to understand ourselves better. It's like a mirror that reflects back who we are, but it also is a catalyst for us to think about who we want to become.
Cynthia and Wade, thank you for joining us.
Thank you, Kate.
Thank you so much.
Cynthia Bland is art and art history chair at UW-Stout, developed the graffiti and street art course. Wade Lambertson is an artist and sign shop business owner in Menominee, co-teaches the course at UW-Stout. And ahead, we continue our conversation on street and graffiti art with a nationally known artist and author. Roger Gastman is here. Join in on street art culture, murals that you love, 800-642-1234. News update is next here on the Ideas Network. We're talking about the rise of graffiti and street art and its place as a contemporary art form here on The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. I'm thinking about the street art that was produced in the wake of George Floyd's murder, the murals, the Black Lives Matter posters. And as our country wrestled with a racial reckoning, people took to the streets in protest. And some of that story is through the artwork that emerged. And I learned that University of St. Thomas documented this, more than 2,700 murals in its Urban Anti-Racist Street Art Mapping Project. Join in on street art, on murals, graffiti, what it conveys to you, 800-642-1234. Roger Gastman is an author, artist, and publisher on graffiti and street art, co-authored The History of American Graffiti. Roger, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Hello, thanks for having me.
Good morning. I want to start right there on the murder of George Floyd and the street art and the murals that emerged in that moment. How can street art be a form of protest in ways that gallery art cannot?
Art in general has always been a great form of protest. You can look back through history and we could talk for, you know, hours and hours about it. You know, before it was, there was the tool of the spray can, and before there was the tool of the magic marker, people were finding ways to express themselves publicly on the walls, on the caves, and everywhere in between. It's street art, graffiti. It's a fantastic way to get your message out, be heard, be seen, and take the power back and put out there what you want to put out. And often in times of change, in times of, you know, horrible things that have happened, and in times of wonderful things that have happened, people take to the streets, to the walls, and put out their messages. And this, of course, was a horrible incident. But there was a lot of great art and creativity put out there, and you know, a lot of messages went out around the world about it. And it was public, it was in your face, it was screaming at you, and it made you pay attention and it made you feel.
I think that really hits on how I feel. These murals and this street art with these messages, it's really because it's larger than life. It's in your face. You can't look away. And, you know, that to me really helps confront these really difficult issues in our society. And it makes us think more deeply, I think, because you simply can't look away at this art. It's right there and it's drawing you in.
Exactly. It's exactly what it's meant to do. It's meant to draw you in. And so many of the artists that are drawn to create and do images, messages like this in those sorts of types and instances are not artists that are trained to paint on the street or have painted that much on the street before. They're not artists that have even painted murals privately or publicly before. They're artists that, or people that are just drawn to go get their messages out. And that's so many times why there ends up being so much feeling and emotion in them.
On the flip side, cities devote a lot of money and people power to continually removing graffiti. Why do you think that is?
And graffiti at its core is writing your name over and over again for the sake of fame. Illegally, it's not putting up a cute sticker of a cat or of a car. It's, you know, name based, it's ego based, and it's about screaming me, 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 look at me, I'm over here, and I made mine even bigger than this guy or this girl, and it's time to talk about me and celebrate me without me being here and without you even knowing who I am. And that appears where it shouldn't appear, you know, at its core.
How do you explain then the difference between graffiti and street art?
It's graffiti, there's street art, and there's murals. There's almost three different cultures that have emerged the past 15 years or so. And so much of it has to do with, you know, a word that a lot of people love and a lot of people think is really dirty, gentrification in a sense. You know, graffiti is, like I just said, it's writing your name over and over again for the sake of fame. It's generally, not always, but generally letter-based. And of course, it can turn into big, beautiful murals. It can turn into bubble letters, straight letters, you know, a crazy arrow coming off the left, coming off the right. It can take hours and hours to do under a bridge, on a rooftop, or somewhere else. Street art is much more image-based. An example of a Labrador Retriever or a kitty cat on a sticker that you put up on a stop sign or a newspaper box, or it's a massive, huge printed piece of paper that you wheat paste up on a rooftop or the side of a building. Street art is usually created more in a studio or at home before it's affixed. Not always, but often. And then murals take a cue from both, in a sense, and are done almost always legally and on a much more grandiose scale. Most murals today that I see take cues from graffiti and take cues from street art, and are using tools. I mean, you can go to so many art stores today and buy spray paint that's made for graffiti, made for murals. You can buy how to cut it yourself stencil kits. You know, it's out there and it's turned into a massive business and a massive culture. And at its core and root is illegally writing your name over and over again.
I wonder, how do graffiti writers then fine-tune their style, fine-tune their, you know, their presentation, or how do they practice their art?
You just continue to put in work over and over again on the street. And you can be a really bad graffiti writer who's often called a toy for years and years, and then, you know, one day it just might snap and you're great. Or it's just, as anything, that you keep trying it and practicing, you get better. It's not necessarily something like, I'm going to practice this on the back of my garage. Sure, I'm guarantee people do that, but you get better by the act of doing.
Talking about the history and culture of street art and graffiti with Roger Gastman. He's an artist and author, co-authored The History of American Graffiti. You can join in 800-642-1234. Roger, you've been immersed in this for a long, long time. I'm not going to date you here, but tell us how people reacted to graffiti, say, back in the 80s and 90s versus how people react to it today.
Sure. As graffiti has gone on through the years, there's been a lot of different waves of mainstream acceptance, success, and a boom. There's always going to be people that hate it and don't want to hear about it, no matter what it is, and are shocked someone's being paid to paint a mural, or they turn straight and bottom line, they did illegal things, so they should be thrown in jail and beaten and never talked to again. And then there's people that love where it's happened. The first wave of graffiti going into the galleries happened in the very early 70s in New York. Didn't last that long. The second wave was in New York and Europe in the early 80s through the mid 80s, where so many of the artists that were painting subway trains had just great success in the galleries and became stars, TV, newspaper, everything. They were celebrities. And then it started really again in the early 2000s. You could almost call it the Banksy and Shepard Fairey effect, where those are two artists that are almost household names, Shepard Fairey being from America and Banksy being from the UK, but both traveled the world and just did so much and pop culture and getting the work out, much more looked at as street artists than graffiti artists. And the work was authentic, it was meaningful, it carried messages, and people were really paying attention as it resonated with them. It was jokes and comments on TV shows, it was on the national press, it was everywhere. And don't forget, so many people, if graffiti was really starting to boom again in the early 2000s, a lot of those people were probably starting doing it in the late 90s by the time they get good. And a lot of those people now in power that own a store, are a manager of a store, a creative director at an agency, work at a train yard as a manager, I mean, up and down the food chain, came up seeing so much more graffiti, came up skateboarding as a normal thing, came up with, you know, people having tattoos. So seeing graffiti, you know, was something they had on a t-shirt when they were in high school in the 90s, probably. So seeing it on the streets now, seeing it in advertising, seeing it everywhere, and seeing these artists continue to become well-known and famous artists seems much more normal. It's more just the I guess, turn of the tides of ageism, if we want to say that.
It makes, what you say there makes it sound like there's been this breathtaking breakthrough of acceptance. But I wonder, where is the pushback in the art world?
The traditional art world has always been, especially if you want to talk more about blue chip type art world, has always been somewhat stuffy and elitist. And that's what makes it what it is. There's always been some artists that break through. And there's, you know, a great handful of artists that have really gone on to have incredible success in the graffiti and street art world and been completely celebrated and are still celebrated in it and are now celebrated in the fine art world. And then there's countless artists that are celebrated in the art world, maybe not the fine blue chip art world, but also in the graffiti and street art world, and, you know, have gone on to have an illustrious careers for themselves. I do a massive show called Beyond the Streets, that tour that was in New York and Los Angeles in 18 and 19, where over 100,000 people came through each show. We basically build a museum and then tear it back down. And, you know, our focus is artists that have gone on to have great careers in the studio, in the gallery, in the museum, and take what they've learned and honed from the streets and really harness that and put out incredible work. And a lot of what we do is place artwork with collectors, educate, and keep the culture moving, you know, beyond just the walls outside.
Roger Gastman, leading voice on the history of the culture, the technique of street art and graffiti, as you mentioned, created the art show called Beyond the Streets. Maybe perhaps you're a muralist, or you go on trips just to see street art, or you appreciate the late French street artist Mystique. Join in 800-642-1234. Back in a minute with Roger Gastman here on the Ideas Network. It is the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Let's get back to our conversation on street art culture with curator, artist, and author Roger Gastman. There was this piece on street art activism in the Harvard Political Review that said the primary argument against public street art is the notion that artists should do, quote, legal methods of art in the privacy of their own homes, ignoring that the high-end art world is discriminatory. Join in on where you see street art headed, the places you have seen murals. 800-642-1234. Roger Gastman with us for about 10 more minutes. Roger, I want to pick apart here the Harvard Political Review saying that most gallery art is dominated by white people and graffiti is a way for Black and brown people to express. What do you make of that?
I think graffiti through the years, through my studies, I'm sure everyone has their own story in their own city and their own friend group. But my studies through the years, there's been all kinds of different groups of people that have done graffiti, and it is done by all kinds of people. not black people, not brown people, not white people. It's done by everyone. And it's done by people that want to spread their names, spread a message. And at different times in different cities, there's definitely been different groups of people of, you know, different colors, different backgrounds, different cultures that have been more prevalent on the walls as cities go through generations of graffiti and street artists. But it is definitely a culture that is for anyone and everyone and is overly inclusive. But it has often been sort of, no pun intended, tagged as a culture. It's from New York and it's from black and brown people. And it's from everywhere. And, you know, if you want to get technical about the true beginning of the culture of graffiti, the last 50 plus years of writing your name over and over for the sake of fame, we're not talking about cave painting. We're not talking about political scrawl. We're just talking about the writing your name over and over for the sake of fame. It starts in Philadelphia in the late 60s, mm-hmm. and it gets in New York City on the trains in the early 70s. And it, if you look at Philadelphia graffiti writers of the late 60s into the early 70s, it's predominantly black writers. If you look at New York City of the late 60s going into the early 70s, it's Greek guys, it's Puerto Rican guys, it's black guys, it's white guys, it's guys into rock and roll. It's everything. And it's so many people say what's first and what group of people did it. And I can, of course, go into all kinds of technical studies of it, but in a sense, there's a really simple answer too of it's what you saw first and it's what you and your group of friends were doing.
Can you mentioned graffiti and music. Can you give us any connections there between graffiti and hip hop?
Sure. Graffiti and hip hop, you know, go hand in hand. It's like, you know, peanut butter and jelly sandwich. But if you look at graffiti, you know, we're talking about late 60s, early 70s for the core birth of the current day graffiti culture. And any hip hop historian can tell you, for the most part, hip hop starts almost 50 years ago in 73 at a house or a party in the Bronx with Kool Herc and his sister. But there's no recorded, you know, hip hop tapes being traded, records and things like that till the late 70s. Of course, people could be like, well, what about this? What about this? But it mainstream, even underground, larger culture of records and hip hop really being spread is the late 70s. Graffiti's gone through generations of culture before then. Mm-hmm. But graffiti in the early 80s really gets blended together with hip hop. Some of the major factors of that are is film, Wild Style, Beat Street, and Style Wars, which are all incredible films for their own reasons that share a major push of the graffiti culture and the hip hop culture and blends them together, which is true for a lot of New York City. And those films go on to show on PBS, movie theaters, and they show around the globe. And those help spread the culture. So if you're a kid in 1984 in Cleveland, Ohio, or Berlin, or pick any other city around the world, to you, graffiti and street art and hip hop go hand in hand. But in a sense, it's, you know, being done by a kid listening to, you know, Ozzy Osbourne and, you know, Slayer at the same time.
You have mentioned here that, you know, graffiti writers, they accompany their work with a unique signature, that tag that they're doing over and over again. What goes into the significance of a tag?
It's your signature. You know, it's special and it's stylistic. A lot of different cities have a lot of different styles. As the years have gone on, and of course, the more social media and travel becomes, the less cities have lost some identities because it's so much easier to see what happened in Miami, not even last night, what happened in Miami 5 minutes ago. So the blending of styles throughout the cities, throughout the country, and throughout the world has become much greater. Well, before, if you were from this part of LA, that part of LA, this part of Philadelphia, or this part of DC, you might have different styles slightly than the other part of the city. Where you used to be able to look at graffiti and almost tell what city it was from.
Roger Gastman with us, artist and author, talking about the history and culture of street art and graffiti. You can join in the conversation, 800-642-1234. You know, there are graffiti art stores that specializing, you know, in selling spray paints designed for artists that, you know, that don't drip and they offer very vibrant colors. I'm just wondering how the tools of graffiti changed over time.
The tools of graffiti have changed over time by one, artists just being more intuitive and wanting to push and stretch what they can do by learning how to mix and match cans of spray paint that you're not supposed to and blend it and, you know, put different tips on the top caps that have, you know, different sprays and different pressures to learning to work with, you know, rollers and house paint and just, you know, inventing and working with what was around them, realizing they wanted more and the culture got bigger and, you know, business pays attention to the streets often and, you know, continues to adapt and it has continued to adapt.
Let's go to Jody in Downing. Jody, hi, what would you like to bring up?
Hi, I've seen a couple of the films and wonderful about the graffiti, and I spent quite a bit of time in Central and Latin America, and I don't know exactly the roots of it, but there's a lot of poetry that's written on walls, either to protest, to say things that they can't say to the government because they're oppressed, or it's like their hopes and dreams. But I just thought that that was really interesting and really beautiful.
Jody, thank you for bringing that up. What about words and poetry, Roger?
People write everything on the walls. You know, that's the beauty of it. You know, if someone's writing words and poetry on the walls, I would probably assume they were much less a chance of a traditional graffiti artist or a street artist. They're inspired by the incredible venue of the street to be able to get their message out for everyone, like the caller, to see and enjoy much more than they would if they were sitting in at their home or in a coffee shop or in a park writing in a journal. Nothing there, not that there's anything wrong with that, but it's getting your message out to inspire.
We only have a few moments left. Rapid fire question. What's your favorite city for looking at graffiti?
I still love LA and New York and, you know, just seeing the culture because there's always going to be a new 12, 13, 14 year old kid with a spray can that wants to get out there and, you know, the rules don't matter to them because when you're a young teenager and you're into graffiti, you're invincible.
Roger, thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Roger Gastman, author, curator, filmmaker, publisher, focuses on graffiti and street art. Earlier, we talked with UW Stout art professor and department chair Cynthia Bland, along with sign artist and muralist in Menominee, Wade Lambertson. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. It's The Morning Show, and you're listening to the Ideas Network.